Shopify grows your business no matter how far or big you grow. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling your fans' next favorite shirt or an exclusive piece of podcast merch, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Allbirds, Rothy's, Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/income, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/income now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in.
In Chicago, two comedian skeptics named Andy and Art were mysteriously abducted by the illusionary mastermind and conspiracy theorist known only as Mr. Bunker. The following serves as a record of Bunker's attempt to convince non-believers of the truth about conspiracies and paranormal activity. Andy and Art give an uninterrupted presentation and verdict on the plausibility of these offbeat topics, delivering what they call the whole enchilada. Will Mr. Bunker convince these two skeptics any of this is real? Will it convince you?
Welcome to Mr. Bunker's Conspiracy Time Podcast. As always, I'm your co-host, Art Stone, and with me, as always, is your co-host, Andy Hart.
Hi, Art.
Hi, Andy.
Bunk Hunkers, thanks for being here. I just got these braces on, and I feel horrible. Oh, wow.
Also,
they hurt my teeth so bad.
I sound like Harry Carey, and you sound like Gilbert Godfrey.
Ah, it's me, Gilbert Godfrey. Remember me? I was Digid, that bird in that Cyber Chase show on PBS. I always play a bird. Why? Is it because I squawk?
And this... That's the fucking role that people are going to most remember him by, is that PBS, like, straight-to-video fucking, what's
it
called?
PBS Kids!
Oh, okay.
Christopher Lloyd played the bad guy in that show.
That could have been any movie.
I think it was called Cyber Chase.
Well, Bunk Bunkers, if you out there...
It was about a bunch of kids in the cyber world.
Jesus Christ. It was about a bunch of kids in the cyber world. And Andy, you know, kind of today's topic, we're kind of going to a different world. The world of sleep.
A whole new world. Gilbert Godfrey was not in that movie.
Wait, he was in that movie. Not in that song is what I mean.
A whole new... Yeah, he was in that movie.
Not
for
in that song.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he was in that movie 100%.
I got it.
Gilbert Godfrey, you're all hopped up on drugs and you don't remember what the fuck
you know,
you're talking about.
We are going to the world of sleep, which is a world that I'm familiar with, but I don't visit often enough.
You are a, we will get into it. I promise you we will get into it, but the episode today is...
The world of sleep is one of the few places I haven't been banned from traveling to. But that looks to change soon.
You're allowed to go on some of the rides.
Yeah.
We're talking about sleep paralysis today.
Unlike Six Flags, I ain't too fat to ride the rides at Sleep World.
That's right. You beat the shit out of that old man that used to do the commercials. That guy. You fought him, and you won big time.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
What? You fought him. You did an underground bare knuckle bum fight with him.
Oh, wow.
On LiveLeak.com.
Look, I've killed a lot of bums underground. I can't keep them all straight.
You don't remember that guy? He was an old man. You don't remember this.
What is this?
Oh, Christ.
A Six Flags commercial?
Get out of here. Go back with Gilford Godfrey.
Gopher Godfrey.
We're talking about sleep paralysis today, bunk funkers.
Sleep paralysis.
Andy, this was sent in. Well, this was sent in by multiple bunk funkers, wasn't it?
A popular topic.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, we've had it. I have to have the list.
No, this was sent in by a loyal bunk funker, Vanth.
Vanth sent this in.
Thank you very much, Vanth. We appreciate it. But not the only one.
No.
This is a popular topic.
It's
well, here.
Should I?
We'll get into it.
Okay.
First, I want to say this, which is that if you want to get right into all the sleep paralysis action, all the research, you can look ahead into the show notes. There will be a timestamp, and you can follow that timestamp in the episode description. It'll take you right to when the research on sleep paralysis starts, but I think you should stick around for the intro because you're going to be hearing a third voice on that research, which you don't normally hear. And that's because today we are very, very
fortunate.
Happy, very fortunate to welcome our guest, our good friend and a bunk tech
contractor.
And also someone who sent in sleep paralysis as a episode topic.
Well, see, this was my hesitation because I didn't want to ruin the big reveal.
Oh, sure. Like you are right now?
Yeah.
It's already out there. It's out there. You said a third voice. It's out there. I'm not ruining anything.
No. I'm joking.
Please welcome to the bunker our very good friend, Justin Link.
Justin! Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for having me. Happy to be here.
Justin. Wow.
Justin, I know you couldn't actually be in the bunker yourself. We are still quarantined semi. Andy is still quarantined in his open-faced toilet bubble.
Yes.
I have the rest of the bunker to myself. Peon Musk is walking around. I think he's making some crab rangoon for us later.
But as everybody knows, Sasquatches are immune from COVID-19.
That's right.
Can't catch it. Can't transmit it.
We are looping you in through the bunk tech console.
Yeah, you guys told me about the technology, but I didn't really understand it, so I'm just going to trust that it's getting done and getting done correctly. So,
it works terrifically.
Well, you should trust us, Jay. Now, Justin, you've been around the block with us and in our bunker adventures. You are famously, let's get it out of the way up top. I mean, you are a videographer extraordinaire, mm-hmm. a photographer Thank extraordinaire. You, mm-hmm. you help, you tirelessly compile the incredibly well-received and viral hits, the bunker videos.
Yeah.
On our YouTube page.
Huge hits. Huge.
Huge hits. And you also helped compile the old footage of the bunker Christmas album.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That was a classic Christmas. I've listened to that every Christmas since making that. So
yeah, it's become a family favorite for everybody on Earth, I think.
You guys have mentioned me so much on the podcast, so I figured I better come in and, you know, all that free advertising you've given me, I'll, you know, pay tribute.
Wow.
It's going to pay tribute.
Yeah, we're like deities.
Yeah. Wow.
Justin sacrificing himself to us.
You're the toilet god.
Yeah. The porcelain god.
And I'm the god of bird seeds because I'm on a bird diet.
Yeah.
I only eat seeds, mostly nuts and seeds, and regurgitate them. Actually, I have a personal trainer chew them up and regurgitate them into my mouth.
Oh, it's smart. That's very efficient.
Justin, one of the big reasons we're having you on the show is because you are a big time sufferer. I don't know, experiencer. We just call it suffering, I guess.
Is it suffering?
Of sleep paralysis.
Yeah, I mean, I think people would call it, it's not exactly a disease. So, you know, I wouldn't say I have it. I think
you have plenty of those.
I experience it more often than the normal person, I think. So I would say sufferer is probably a good word for it.
Okay. Now, how many times on average would you say you've had a sleep paralysis, like an extreme sleep paralysis kind of experience?
So, how many times a month?
When I was younger, I had a lot, like a whole lot. Like it would happen, you know, sometimes nightly, sometimes weekly. You know, so it happened. It used to happen all the time. Nowadays, I don't know what happened genetically, but you know, it only happens once every couple months if I'm lucky. So doesn't happen as much as it used to, but it does. Wow. It does occasionally happen, and we'll talk about it later. But yeah, I've had it just a couple times over the past year or two. So
you're gonna share some experiences you've had with sleep paralysis.
Yes,
some of the things you've seen. But I think, you know, we and all the other bunk funkers, a lot of the times when we have guests on the show, we like to kind of get to know them a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, we want to get to know you, Jay.
Oh, God. Here we go. Let's do it.
So, you know, we kind of ask, you know, obviously we are a Mr. Bunker's Conspiracy Time podcast. What's sort of your general fascination or interest with the world of conspiracies, paranormal, UFOs, things
like that? I've always loved the paranormal. I think it's always been a guilty pleasure of mine, I think would be the way to describe it. You know, I love, you know, when it comes to conspiracies, cryptids, I think that's my area of like, ooh, that's interesting. What's going on there? Flatwoods Monster? What's up with that?
Flatwoods Monster. Everybody loves the Flatwoods Monster.
Generally speaking, I'm afraid to say I tend to fall on the Andy side of things where... of the bunker scale, I guess, where, you know, I'm more of
the Andy side,
more of
the
a
scale.
Skeptic, you know, where, you know, I'm like, I don't know about that. Although if at any point the government's involved, I tend to believe whatever the conspiracy is. You know, where I'll go like, I don't know about that. But, you know, also, it would probably happen if the government was involved, or the CIA at any level, especially in the 60s or 70s. it's probably true. I like spooky stuff. I like, you know, I'm not a believer in ghosts and demons necessarily, but I like, you know, I like hearing the stories and going, ooh, that's cool. Ooh, interesting. I used to watch that Ghost Hunter show all the time. It's just interesting. It's just a fun little, you know, thing I like to explore.
Nice.
Okay.
So you're kind of in the general, you're kind of in the same general area as us. I think a lot of people would categorize us in that same kind of area where we like to have fun talking about this stuff.
Yes.
But we're not always like,
not like true believers in a lot of things.
Yeah,
right.
You know, we are famous. I mean, that's the crux of the show is that we're skeptics and Mr. Bunker, the titular Mr. Bunker, is trying to convince us. Yeah.
Oh, is it? I've actually
you don't listen to the intro either.
I've never listened to the usually I skip to the research,
scrub the head to the end,
and then I also don't listen to the parts after it. So I don't know what happens other than that.
What about UFO stuff, Jay? You ever seen a UFO? You ever had experiences like that? Anything weird ever happen to you out there?
No, you know, unfortunately, no. Sleep paralysis. Unfortunately, I should say fortunately. Yeah, no. You know, sleep paralysis was probably the weirdest sort of paranormal stuff that's happened to me, which obviously we'll get into. But I've heard some cool UFO stories, and I think UFOs are really interesting and of themselves too. You know, other than the sleep paralysis stories we're about to get into, I haven't really had any spooky stuff happen to me. Which, you know, honestly, the sleep paralysis is probably enough, but.
You ever been MK Ultra'd?
Not since I was little, but
Jesus Christ.
Oh no. Cool. Jay, you're like an OG bunk funker.
That's true.
You've been listening. I mean, obviously we are friends and all that. And so you had knowledge about this happening, I think. And, you've been listening for a while, and I think you've probably listened to more of the episodes than me, even.
Yeah, despite me just saying the fact that I didn't listen to any, I have listened to, I'm a liar, I have listened to all of this.
Hey, it's fine. We contradict ourselves constantly, moment to moment.
So yeah, and
we're walking contradictions.
And like you said, I've known you and Art long enough. I've known you guys long enough to know when Art is hungry just by listening to his voice, and to know that. that the longer you know Andy, the more unpredictable his behavior becomes.
I don't know if I should take that as a compliment or if I should be frightened of myself.
It sounds like fighting words to me.
The more you know me, the more unpredictable I become. It's like the more you get, the more you find out about me, the weirder I am.
Yeah, you're like the, oh, I mean, that's why you're dressed up like the Joker.
Yeah.
You're just chaos.
Art, we live in a society, okay?
We live in a society.
Jay, what's your favorite episode or absolute favorite topic that we've covered?
That's a great question.
What, do you got some ice cream?
Oh, this ice cream is so good. I have a Yeti full of melted ice cream that I just sip on.
Halo Top?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, Halo Top keto ice cream.
It's not that bad. It is good.
You know, my instinct, because I think the Flatwoods Monster is such an interesting cryptid that I liked listening to that one a lot, but then I edited the video and I had to listen to it so many times that, you know, I think
it's not medically advised to listen to the show more than like once.
Jay, please, for your health.
Yeah. I hate to say it because I suggested the topic, but the Erickson twins to me is such an interesting, bizarre
case. It's true, you did.
Case. Oh, yeah. I suggested
a lot
the topic.
Of people like that one.
Yeah, I've always been fascinated by that. I'm a huge true crime fan. So whenever you guys talk about cryptids or true crime, I'm always like, yeah, let's dig into it. Okay. Let's figure this out. But I also like when you guys bring up stuff that I've never heard of, like the, which one was I listening to recently that I was like, what the hell is it? Oh, it's the Somerton Man. I know this was a while ago, but I was recently re-listening to that and I was like, oh yeah, that's right. That's a bizarre case. So I think those are kind of my favorite, anything with some mystery, you know, you get every now and then you have a conspiracy where, there's not really any mystery to it. It's just like, you know, it's just, you know, skeptical in general, and those are just never as fun. But anything with some mystery, I like a good, you know, oh, what if, interesting, oh, you know, mystery, you know, so especially when you could never possibly find out the answer. Those are the ideal ones.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very
solid
answer.
Yeah, it's a very well thought out, solid answer. Yeah. Justin's, you know, been a long time bunk funkers. I think a lot of bunk funkers might not know how much work you do behind the scenes as a bunk tech contractor.
Yeah, Mr. Bunker, you know.
What were you saying there, Jay?
Acknowledged me or said anything, but that's
fine. Oh.
Yeah. Oh. You guys do it enough, so.
Oh, you, well, I mean, listen.
Yeah.
You know, Bunker is just, it's the titular Mr. Bunker. It's just kind of how he is.
Yeah,
you know,
we don't.
After a while, you kind of become numb to it. How rude he is and ruthless.
I get it.
I mean, Elon Musk will tweet about you if you like.
I know. I prefer if he did.
Okay. Yeah. Fair. That's probably valid. Yeah.
I suppose, you know, it's time to move on to our second segment here, which is very special
today. This week. Very special. Yeah. We have
some mutual friends who have also appeared on the show.
Oh, yeah. This is
today though, we are ringing a very special bunker alarm.
That's right.
For our friends, Ian and Natalie, who recently were joined together in marriage.
In marriage?
In marriage.
Oh, I thought they were stitched together so that they would be literally, their body parts were stitched together.
No, that was just a schematic drawing that I did. I like to imagine couples as being like human centipeded.
But it's true.
Because I feel like being in a relationship is just recycling each other's shit.
Emotionally, yeah, that's pretty much what that is.
But anyway, congrats on your marriage. No,
yeah.
A huge congratulations to our good friends, Ian and Natalie, who have appeared, who have also appeared here in the bunker back when we were actually in the bunker on our Simpsons episode, Simpsons Writers or Time Travelers. Mm-hmm. And Justin, you're also, everyone's kind of connected. It's a big old circle, just like a marriage ring.
Aw.
Aw, indeed. and we're gonna ring the bunker alarm for him.
Yeah, we're gonna ring the bunker alarm for you, Ian and Natalie, with this high tech piece of equipment, the Bunk Tech Bunker Alarm 3000.
That's right.
It can't ensure many years of wedded bliss, but it can at least play two perfectly synced alarms for the both of you, who are so deserving. So let me just program the machine quickly.
And Andy, while you're programming the machine, correct me if I'm wrong, since you guys are back in the bunker, the bunker alarm must be more synced than it ever has been. Like there is no possibility of it being out of sync at all.
Right? Now, Justin, you'd be surprised. The level of syncness doesn't depend on the distance. The machine is so high tech. We could be in different like planets and it wouldn't matter.
Oh.
So
there's no delay on this one, baby.
Yeah. The sync level is the same. There's no loss.
Okay. So it's just
bunk tech technology.
It's just always perfect.
This is premium bunk tech technology. This machine costs millions. Okay. And I've got the alarm keyed up here. So
this is a special marriage themed.
Yeah, yeah. This is the marriage themed alarm. I mean, bug tech bunker alarm 3000 is so many different varieties of things, and this is a marriage themed one. So many different alarms. So you know, Art and I like to do a countdown because we're traditionalists.
We're just a big fan of countdowns. I mean, we like them in lists. We like them when NASA uses them,
and it's such a classic way to do everything. I always count down.
You count down every time you do anything.
Yeah, you got to count down. So we're going to count down. We don't need to do it. This is so high tech. I mean, Jay, to your point, it's so perfectly synced. It doesn't matter the countdown, but we do it anyway.
Yeah, because of course.
You know,
I mean, I remember before when we were on shoots on sets together, you know, before you guys, you know, walked on set, you would always count down to get yourselves hyped back up, you know? So I get it.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Countdown gets you excited. So without further ado, let's count down. Let's ring the bunker alarm for Ian and Natalie. Many happy returns. 3, 2, 1. Bum bum ba bum 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 bum.
Wow.
God,
wow.
Worth every penny.
So beautiful. So you guys can't see, but I'm crying. This is beautiful.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, you can't see either, Jay, but I am actively taking a dump right now. And I am on the open face toilet.
And I am sweating profusely.
Which, I mean, as a married person, this is what I did the whole day of my wedding. I'm getting deja vu. Deja vu from, you know, having diarrhea being related to a wedding. Oh, so beautiful.
Wow. Congratulations, Ian and Natalie. Congrats. We all love you. Congrats. And we're so happy for you guys. Justin, do you have anything to say to the happy couple?
Beautiful.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Jay. Thanks for chiming in there, buddy.
Beautiful.
Just beautiful.
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 Hey, Ian and Natalie, here's Gilbert Godfrey with a special message.
That's right. We got Gilbert fucking Godfrey for you guys.
Enjoy the sex.
Thank you, Gilbert.
Thank you, Gilbert. All right, go talk to Peon Musk. Get your goodie bag on the way out. We give goodie bags.
It's goodie bags.
Now, congratulations to Ian and Natalie. I mean, can't wait to see you both and ring in your love. I don't know. What do you say?
We can't wait to celebrate your love.
Yeah. If that was kind of a special bunker alarm, obviously. You don't have to get married just to get one, Bunk Funkers. Hello. You can just email us and ask, or you can send in like a show topic, or just become a frequent responder on social media to us at Mr. Bunker Pod on Twitter and Instagram, or email us mrbunkerpod@gmail.com. Or one other way you can do it is become a Patreon, and then you get a guaranteed Patreon supporter. You get a guaranteed bunker alarm in your name. You also get access to our Patreon-only show, Andy and Art Debunked, with new episodes every single month and a lot of other fun perks. But hey, you know, that's a couple different ways you can get a bunker alarm.
Yeah.
Correct. And correct yourself. Me if I'm wrong, you can also get one by getting a divorce.
Yeah.
Sure. If you want us to... You want us to fucking...
You want us to ring the bell for your divorce, yeah. Ian and Natalie, we will gladly do it.
Okay, or anybody else.
Wait, is that what you meant, Jay?
No, I meant in general, but yeah, if we want to...
Oh, in general, already, okay, yeah.
Yeah, no, we do all kinds of life events. You want to... You get divorced.
Right. You have a fucking kid. You have
a pet pass away.
You get a colonoscopy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, find out that you're actually a twin. Mm-hmm.
You get fucking gallstones.
Yeah, if you get, a haircut, but you got to send us a picture or we're not ringing the bell.
That's right.
A before and after.
That's right.
Yeah.
And we'll judge the haircut.
Yeah. We'll give you our thoughts.
But anyway, that was the bunker alarm. So I think without further ado, we should get into sleep paralysis. I mean, this is huge. We got a guy who gets sleep paralysis on the line. You believe this?
No.
And we're going to talk about it. We're going to go all through sleep paralysis. Justin, we're going to talk about some of your experiences. If you are someone who experiences sleep paralysis, I think you're going to get a lot out of this episode. And if you're someone who doesn't, you're going to be open to a world that is, quite frankly, in my opinion, very scary.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. But we'll talk about it. We'll get into it right here on Mr. Bunker's Conspiracy Time podcast.
Wake me up!
Oh, he's asleep. Sleep paralysis.
So, Justin, let me ask you something.
Yeah.
Sometimes I get dreams where I'm fully nude and I'm being anally stimulated by lingerie-wearing bananas... in pajamas. Well, I guess in this case they're bananas in lacy underwear. But then I wake up and my bed is full of jizz. Now what's up with that? Am I a sleep paralysis?
Andy, that's a wet dream.
Alright, now Justin, may I ask you something? Sometimes I get dreams where I'm Nemo in the Finding Nemo's movies. Except no one ever tries to find me at all. And the movie ends with a montage on how all the other fish's lives are better now that I'm gone. And then I wake up and my bed is full of jizz. Am I a sleep paralysis?
No. I don't know what the fuck is wrong with you two. Your dreams are fucked up, but they ain't a sleep paralysis. Sleep paralysis is a phenomenon defined by momentary alertness of the brain, but loss of voluntary muscle movement. Essentially, you're awake but paralyzed in a semi-sleep state. It's experienced by about 8% of the general population, but an estimated 20 to 50% of people in the US have experienced some form of sleep paralysis in their lives. Many people who struggle with other sleep disorders such as sleep apnea, narcolepsy, often experience sleep paralysis, but it may also be a genetic trait. It's most often thought of as an answer to many stories of alien abductions or other paranormal encounters. But that definition doesn't even begin to identify how terrifying the situation is or can be. It started as a feeling, a minor scare, a dream. I'd wake up in the middle of the night completely unable to move, stuck in my body, somewhere between dreaming and waking. Surreal. But I'd wake up the next morning not really remembering all of it, thinking, oh, weird dream. But then it just wasn't just waking up in the middle of the night unable to move. I started to sense a presence. I couldn't see it, but I knew it was there. Just a lurking mass standing there in the corner of my room. My eyes were glued shut, but I could feel it watching. I wanted nothing more than to jump out of bed or to simply open my eyes to turn and look at it. To know, what is it? But I was paralyzed, stuck frozen in my body. Unfortunately, I eventually would get my wish. One night, at last, I woke up in the middle of the night frozen again, but this time I could open my eyes. I was sure if I could just simply open my eyes, turn, and I could see it, I'd know there's nothing there at all. I was just being silly. I'd come to regret this choice. Frozen still, I opened my eyes, and there it was. A lurking black mass, standing in the corner, just watching me. My heart is pounding. I couldn't move. I was stuck, frozen. I was fighting an epic internal battle for control of my own body. My muscles ached with the pain of attempting to simply scream. It was as if an unliftable weight was sitting on top of me, keeping me tethered to my bed. Which is weird because I am very strong. Notoriously strong. Known for my strong. After what felt like hours of fighting, finally, I had control. I shot up out of my bed, exhausted, but finally able to move. I looked to the corner of my room. Nothing. The black mass was gone. But suddenly I was so tired. It was as if though, even though I had control of my body, I was drugged. My head was weighing like 1,000 pounds, and I had no choice but to immediately set my head down and close my eyes to fall into what would be an uninterrupted night of sleep. That night was scary, but it wouldn't be my last night with the black mass. Oh no. I had many a late night with the black mass, sometimes night after night, other times only once or twice a month. One night, I'd see it move from the corner to hovering over my bed, never talking to me, just watching. But no matter what the mass did, every night was the same. I was always frozen in my bed, always fighting for control of my body, always terrified. Until one day it stopped. It just never came back. Though I've woken up paralyzed many times since, the black mass never came back.
Oh, jeez. That story was scary enough to make me wet the bed. Well, it might be tough to tell, though, because I have a lot of drinks in bed. Also, it's a water bed. An open-top water bed. You sleep in a pool. I sleep in a pool. Anywho, sleep paralysis is pretty unnerving. But let's dive deeper into this strange phenomenon. Sleep paralysis can last anywhere from 20 seconds to a few minutes, which might not seem like a lot, but when you hear about the frequent effects, it feels like a lifetime. As Justin mentioned, sleep paralysis is an awareness of your surroundings, but an inability to move at all. It's accompanied by strong feelings of pressure on the chest, which in turn causes difficulty breathing or a choking feeling. Sleep paralysis sufferers also describe sensations of hallucinations or a sense of a presence in the room with you. These come in the forms of demons, succubuses, incubuses, the sensation of floating, aliens, ghosts, intruders, or out-of-body experiences.
Now, it might come as no surprise that these sensations they cause a bit of a panic. Many sleep paralysis havers describe intense feelings of fear and anxiety while they lay helplessly bound to the bed as demons shrouded in darkness hover over their bodies. The biological reason for this is during sleep paralysis, your body may enter a state of hypervigilance and enters an emergency state when it realizes that your brain woke up while your body was paralyzed and it wasn't supposed to wake up. Now, this can cause feelings of anxiety and fear to skyrocket, and this then also helps make the hallucinations even more vivid. It's like your body is trying to help, but it's only making things worse, which, let's be honest, is a feeling we're all familiar with. And by that, I mean me, Andy, and Justin. Yeah. We're all familiar with that feeling. You bunk funkers are probably great. You're little angels.
Yeah, probably.
Now, arguably, one of the worst feelings with sleep paralysis is that there is no way to get out of it other than to just wait for it to pass.
All right. Andy, you may be an ageist being and the keeper of the history hog, and Art, you might have a psychology degree with the ability to debatably, perfectly diagnose anyone you see fit. But I'm Justin, and I suffer from sleep paralysis. So it's time to break out the sleep science sloth to school you both on sleep science. Oh, and the following information is 100% from the top of my head and definitely not given to me in a script.
Oh, okay. Wow. Good job, sleep science sloth.
Here we go. Here comes the sloth. Anyway, let's talk a little bit about hypnagogic versus hypnopompic sleep. Hypnagogic occurs just before falling asleep. Hypnopompic occurs when waking up. These are both prime times for sleep paralysis to occur. But sleep paralysis most often occurs during the REM, or rapid eye movement, phase of sleep, not just the band. These are five phases of sleep, and REM is the fifth. The first four are simply stages 1 through 4. Stage 1 is the first, which is weird that stage 1, and when it's called stage 1 through 4, 1 would be first, but okay. Then they get progressively deeper and deeper until the end of stage 4, in which your brain shoots back up to REM sleep, which is almost a state of awakening. REM makes up only 25% of your sleep cycle. The entire cycle repeats itself several times over the course of your sleep. REM is when dreaming occurs and your body is energizing itself, or in Andean arts cases, you're having fucked up sex dreams.
I mean, it's on brand for us, let's be honest.
I mean, Justin, we told you up front we're pieces of shit, but we ain't liars, okay? But you're right, J-Man. REM sleep is a wild time, and we would never know, because we're asleep. During REM, your brain sends signals to your spinal cord and motor function to shut off, creating a temporary paralysis. This is a protective measure to ensure you don't injure yourself or others when you dream. Essentially, it's okay. It's so you don't act out on your dreams. The body has a bit of an internal switch, like a light switch, between the state of REM and not. This is on purpose so that your body can enter REM, do all your dreaming and shutting down of the body, and then turn back on. Sleep paralysis may be an error in which this switch on and off function does not occur properly. The REM switch can only be on when you're asleep. People with sleep paralysis may have a weakened signal or neurons which allow the REM switch to be on while the sleep switch is not, which would explain why the body can't move but the mind is semi-awake. The amygdala, the part of the brain that helps in the process of fear and anxiety, is also active during REM sleep, which might also help explain why sleep paralysis is so terrifying.
So, I mean, what the fuck causes this wild phenomenon, right? Like, are there any cures? Is there any hope for our dear friend Justin?
Art, I gave up a long time ago, baby.
Hey, that's our guy.
Welcome to the club.
Oh, baby.
Now, there are several factors that are associated with an increased risk of sleep paralysis. These include insomnia, sleep deprivation, an erratic sleep schedule, stress, physical fatigue. I'm sure caffeine plays a role in that as well. It may also be a genetic trait, as we mentioned earlier, but furthermore, sleeping on your back, if you are a frequent sleep paralysis sufferer, might cause sleep paralysis. But what about cures? Well, there's none. Sorry, Justin.
Yeah.
The basic cure of SP is to adopt better sleep habits. Individuals with frequent episodes should be tested for various other sleep disorders. And now, here's the thing. There are a few trial drugs that, you know, show some promise, but nothing exists right now that is on the market that can fully cure sleep paralysis. One possible method, which isn't so much of a cure per se, but maybe it more aims to allow the user to pivot to a more blissful, lucid dream, is called sleep paralysis signaling. It is detailed in Jorge Canessa Sevilla's 2004 book, Wrestling with Ghosts, which is also the name of Andy and I's independent third-party wrestling tournament that we have put on in various areas of Illinois.
Yeah, I got the idea for the name from a porno I watched. Wrestling with Ghosts.
That's right. That's a hot one. I borrowed that one from you.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a VHS.
Yeah, it's a VHS. Pop that in your VCR. And
stained, though.
Yeah. Your bed will be full of jizz on that one.
Yeah.
Canessa Sevilla is a neurocognitive psychologist and shamanic artist. And shamanic.
We're really getting in shamanics here.
Shamanic artist who also experiences sleep paralysis. In sleep paralysis signaling, through focusing on particular parts of your body. For example, you might focus on your hands while you're awake and really study them and memorize what they look like. And then while you're asleep, attempt to do the same. And that way you can kind of recognize that you're dreaming. Or, you know, other movements such as imagining that you are spinning, using various forms of meditation, controlled breathing and relaxation for managing, you know, fear and the paralyzed state. One can transition through this practice from sleep paralysis into what is known as a lucid dream. And a lucid dream is a dream in which you are aware that you are dreaming. Think kind of like the, you know, like Inception. You are in control of your dreams, and you can do stuff in your dreams. You can fly, you can interact with objects. But the main point is that you are moving from a fear state into something where you have control and you're no longer afraid.
Now, sleep paralysis isn't just a modern thing either. Allow me to introduce the History Hog.
Okay.
Allow me to introduce the History Hog. What the fuck? It's asleep. I'll just fill
in. I don't think anyone will notice the difference.
Okay. Laugh all you want, Jay. But had you had a sleep paralysis episode back in the day, I would have had you burned at the stake.
Oh, God.
Because as we mentioned, sleep paralysis was often thought of as the work of devils and demons. So I, the great Inquisitor Andy, would have condemned you, Justin, the sinner, the sleep paralysis sufferer, as dealing in witchcraft.
Why do I get the feeling you're going to follow this up with, and I woke up and my bed was full of jizz?
How did you know that? Are you really a witch?
Hmm?
Jesus.
It's creepy. Anyway, sleep paralysis has been dated as far back as the 10th century and is present in basically every culture. The term was first used and dubbed by British neurologist S.A.K. Wilson in his 1928 dissertation, The Narcolepsies, which was a great band. The sensation was most often associated with the paranormal, such as the work of demons and incubi, sitting on the victim's chest being impish and devilish. In Old English, the word for these beings was mare or mire or mar.
That's the pronunciation,
huh? What?
I think it's mar.
Mar. Yeah. Which is how we get the word nightmare or nightmar.
Most associate the sensation with some kind of paranormal folklore. Dinnerware.
I've written a few
lore.
Pieces of folklore.
Yeah.
Such as the Hag of Newfoundland. In Newfoundland, sleep paralysis was often referred to as the old hag because the victims of a hagging are said to have had to be hag written upon awakening. The victims have similar feelings of being completely conscious but unable to speak or move, and reported a person or animal sitting on their chests. They thought cures for a hag visit were sleeping with the Bible under your pillow, calling the sleeper's names backwards, or sleeping with a board of nails strapped to your chest, which I haven't tried any of those, so maybe, I don't know, I can't speak to their how good though they work.
There you go, Justin.
Sure, something to try out.
Yeah.
Now, the old hag is a pretty popular sight during sleep paralysis, for sure. I mean, literally, people see old, decrepit, I mean, it doesn't have to be old hags, they can see old men, but in Japan, they call the sensation of sleep paralysis kanashibari, which translates roughly to bound up with metal, which I think would be, is pretty,
pretty
apropos.
Pretty sexy, yeah.
And it's sexy.
Hot. Oh.
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 It is believed that the most common form of kanashibari comes from possession. Kanashibari can even be caused by humans, usually priests or other sorcerers. Now, in the tale of Kiyohime, a Japanese folklore story, there is a passage where a jealous princess is chasing after her lover, An Chin. Trying to escape her advances, An Chin asks the priests at a shrine for help. Now they are able to trap the princess in a state of Kanashibari, which gives An Chin time to flee. Kanashibari can also be caused by ghosts.
Right.
There are many variations of a famous ghost story from the Iwate Prefecture in Japan. Now, prefectures are kind of like Japanese states. Here's the basic gist of the story. In the middle of the night, a person wakes up with a terrible, ominous sense of dread. They realize they can't move, even though they are completely awake. The feeling of powerful arms grip the victim nice and tight, keeping them immobile. Suddenly, an invisible force grabs their legs and drags them out from under their bed through an open window. After the struggle, they finally awake and see the ghost of a middle-aged woman rising up, floating through the ceiling.
In Italy, sleep paralysis is referred to as a pandefice attack, which is, I mean, sounds like it's related to pandas.
It does.
Panda fetche may refer.
Panda, fetch me another pizza.
Panda. The panda fetche may refer to an evil witch, sometimes a ghost-like spirit, or a terrifying cat-like creature. Meow! Similarly, in Catalonia, a region in Spain, they have the pesanta, a black animal, often a dog or a cat, that invades people's homes and sits on their chests while they are asleep, making it difficult to breathe and causing nightmares.
I'm going to be honest. That just sounds like a regular cat.
Yeah, I think these are just cats. One mystery solved.
Now, some who experience sleep paralysis cannot be convinced otherwise. They see sleep paralysis as a portal or gateway into another world in which demons and spirits are able to interact with us. Some believe that by saying the names of holy figures, such as Jesus Christ, they can expel these demons from tormenting their minds and bodies while they sleep. It might also be another reason for spectrophilia, which is sex with ghosts. Mm-hmm. And if you're interested in learning more about having sex with ghosts, you can check out our episode. We did a whole episode on spectrophilia. Now, Bunk Funkers, what does sleep paralysis sound like to you? Is it the work of demons and spirits tormenting us? Or is it just some imbalance in our brains? But why would our brains terrify us in a state of sleep paralysis? And have you ever had an experience with sleep paralysis? Let us know.
Yeah.
Perhaps one night you'll go to sleep. You'll awake in the middle of the night to see two very differently shaped shadowy figures. They inch closer, closer. They reach out. But have no fear. It's simply Andy and Art to bring you the whole enchilada.
Me.
Wake up, it's time to learn about ghosts.
Oh no, I'm covered in jizz.
Mr. Bunker's Conspiracy Time Podcast will be right back after this brief message. Hey, Bunk Funkers, this is Art. I'm here with Andy. We just wanted to let you know we recently launched a Patreon page. So if you feel like supporting the show, you can find it at patreon.com/MrBunkerPod.
Becoming a supporter will get you one extra podcast a month of our brand spanking new podcast, Andy and Art Debunked, available only on Patreon.
Not only that, you'll get a lot more fun perks at each tier. So visit us at patreon.com/MrBunkerPod. That's patreon.com/MrBunkerPod. Welcome back, Bunk Funkers. That was our research of sleep paralysis. I hope it didn't put you to sleep. Justin, what do you think? Did we do a good job of capturing the feeling of sleep? All the things that encompass sleep paralysis to you as someone who has experienced it quite a bit in your life?
Yeah, I'd say so. Think? I'd say you guys covered, you know, the experience pretty well. You know, and I do want to say right off the top, you know, although I have experienced it several times and still do, I, you know, there are people out there that, you know, suffer much, much worse than I do, you know, with not only sleep paralysis, but other sleep disorders too. So, you know, I have, you know, yeah, a ton of experience with it, but a lot of people have a much, much worse than I do. And I'm not a medical professional. So please talk to your doctor if you think you have a problem.
Okay. So, well, that's kind of fucked up because you made Andy and I get naked. And you definitely took our temperatures anally a few times. And well, you definitely gave us prostate exams a few times as well. Yeah. So now you're saying you're not a medical professional.
After you...
Kind of fucked up.
After you pulled up to our houses in a van that said doctor.
But to be fair, as I put the thermometer into your anuses, I did say...
The van itself said doctor if you press the horn.
Right. It just says...
It would say doctor.
Yeah, there's nothing on the side of the van. I mean, it's windowless. Right. There's nothing painted on it. But if you honk the horn, it says doctor.
Yes, yes. I mean, I see where you're coming from. I see your point. But to be fair, when I put the thermometer in your butts, I did say then, oh, actually, I'm not a medical professional.
Oh well. But guess I missed that part.
Yeah, I probably should have left my earbuds at home. My copies of Airbud. Yeah.
Why are you watching that movie so much? You like that scene where they open the pudding for him and it licks the pudding out of the top?
I love everything about that movie. I mean, a dog, basketball play, a dog, like what's not to love?
Well, he plays multiple sports.
Yeah.
He's a triathlete.
I watch them all. I watched especially that one where Bud does the biathlon. Mm. So they have to teach him how to shoot a rifle. And cross-country ski. It's a great one. Air Bud 5.
Oh. Yeah.
Off to Norway. It's a great one.
Justin, here's the thing. Andy and I don't have sleep paralysis. I've never had it. Andy, have you ever had it?
No. The closest thing that I've ever had, Jay, you tell me about this, what you think of this. I have dreams sometimes, and I'm very clearly dreaming because I wake up. You know, it's like I don't have any opinion that I'm like actually still awake. I know I'm asleep. Mm-hmm. Well, it's not like I'm aware that I'm asleep, but it's like I wake up later.
Right.
So I know that I was asleep and I was dreaming. But like I'll have this dream where something like bad is going to happen to me. Like maybe I'm in a situation where like I'm subject to a home invasion or something. Mm-hmm. And I'll notice that there's some kind of intruder and I'll try to warn other people, but I'll go to like make a noise and I can't. Like in a dream, I'll just be like, I'll open my mouth and then all that'll come out is like a,
right. Yes.
Yeah. We know what kind of dream that is.
And, that's as close as I get to be.
No,
honest.
I mean, I think that's something I think a lot of people can relate to too. I definitely, I moan in my sleep. I like a ghost, like sometimes where I'll like in college, I went to a commuter school, and so the only like comfortable place to nap was the library. So they had these big comfy chairs, and so I would fall asleep in those chairs. And sometimes I would wake myself up from just going, oh, and then I would hear myself. And then I'd wake up, and then I'd like look around, and there's a bunch of people looking at me. So,
yeah, I wonder why, Jay.
Yeah, okay.
Look,
we've all masturbated in a library before.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's always moaning in the library.
Okay, so obviously, but Andy and I have never had it in the way that you've had it, where you were having it since a little kid.
Right.
Take us through the time. I want to hear the timeline of this. What was it?
Right.
Excuse me, I burped.
Oh, good, I burped again. Sorry, I had some chicken tenders before we started.
Oh, God. Mm. What was it like being a little kid, kind of not understanding, I'm assuming, what's happening to you, freaking out? Like, what was the timeline? What happened?
Yeah, I mean,
what did you do?
Honestly, it's kind of hard for me to put together too, because I have always had weird sleep things happening to me, but it's just, they've just evolved into different things ever since I was little. So like since I was probably 3 or 4, I slept walked for like the longest time. So from being 3 years old up until like 12 years old or 13 years old, I slept walk all the time. So like it would be a normal thing for me to fall asleep in my bed and then just wake up in a different part of the house. And then, or my family loves to tell the story of when I was like three, my mom woke up in the middle of the night and heard running water. And so she was like, where is that running water coming from? Where is this? And she was looking down the hallway and went into the bathroom and she's like, the water's not on here. And then she heard it coming from, at the time, my baby sister's room, and who was in her crib. And she goes in my baby sister's room and she sees me standing in the corner peeing into a basket of books that were there. And that was one.
But this was, I'm talking about when you were a little kid. I'm not talking about like last week.
Yeah, we're talking about when you were asleep,
okay,
too.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
We want sleep stories, Andy. Justin.
That's my bad.
Whatever your name is.
That's my bad. So
that's fucking wild.
So like, I guess weird sleep stuff was just always normal for me. So like the idea that other people didn't have weird sleep stuff wasn't that bizarre. So by the time sleep paralysis started happening, because like I said, when it first started happening was probably like high school, maybe middle school, where, you know, I would just wake up, be frozen in my body. But when I woke up the next day, it just felt like a dream because essentially it was a dream in a way. So it took me a long time to kind of piece together what was happening. And then by the time I did, I luckily knew what sleep paralysis was. So I wasn't, I didn't think I was being haunted by a demon or anything. So luckily I was able to be like, okay, I have sleep paralysis, but I didn't tell my parents about it. They might not know now still. I don't know. But they, because weird sleep stuff always happened to me, it just made sense to me that like, oh, another weird sleep thing for me, you know?
So you weren't getting like, you weren't freaked out by the black mass and demons and stuff that you would see?
Oh, I was really, really fucking freaked out. But I just,
and you just bottled that shit up like a good little Midwestern.
Yeah,
boy.
I was gonna say like the Midwestern little boy that I am. I just kept it to myself. It definitely scared, especially at the time. But for the longest time, it just was. I would wake up and I was like, oh, that was a dream or oh, weird dream. But until it was recurring, I was like, I very luckily at no point was ever like with a lot of sleep paralysis sufferers. Have they dread going to sleep because they're so scared of what's going to happen to them that night. Luckily it never got to the point from that point for me where, you know, it was like every night, but it would happen. It would recur but sometimes every night for like a week and then it would stop. But you know, it freaked me out for sure. But I think I just kind of knew what it was. I knew, this is what's happening to me, you know? So I never got to the point so where like, I thought I should bring in, you know, an exorcist or anything.
So because you had like experiences with sleepwalking and stuff, you were able to rationalize that whatever you were experiencing was like sleep related.
Exactly.
Instead of thinking,
it's like part of like Link family lore that like Justin used to sleepwalk. So like it was just ingrained that like I have weird sleep stuff that happens to me. So when that started happening, it was just like, oh, another fucking annoying ass thing to happen to me when I sleep, you know? I also don't want to minimize the scariness of it because it is frightening. There are people that, I luckily haven't had this really happen, but there are people that experience pain, in it too. I've had it happen sometimes.
The metal claw.
Yeah. Where they will, like I've had it happen where I'll have muscle cramps and I'll also be experiencing sleep paralysis where I get a muscle cramp in my calf my calf. And so it would I'd be frozen in my body. And then like, I'd have this almost as if there was a marble ball in between my muscle and skin of my calf, just rolling its way down my leg. And I'd be like stuck frozen, just experiencing that muscle cramp because it was just extraordinarily painful. And then I would finally like wake myself up by like screaming, which, you know, sucks. But there are a lot of other people that literally experience like horrible pain nightly. So I luckily haven't had anything like that. But yeah, so it can.
But every single time you usually get the demon.
Yeah, in high school. Yeah, in high school I got that ghost demon black mass thing. And I didn't say this in the script because I didn't really know how to work it in. But like sometimes I would like feel like I was floating too, where I would just be like floating, hovering above my bed. Okay. And so I would, it'd be my bed and then I'd be hovering over it. And then this big black sort of just mass of clouds that was sort of a silhouette would be hovering above me. And then, you know, I would have that fight of like, all right, come on, move. And then, you know, and then when I woke up out of that, you know, everyone has that feeling of falling and dreaming. And then it feels like, you know, you hit your bed. I'd have that too, you know, like as if you literally were just dropped, you know. So that happened every now and then. And like I said in the script, I've had a sleep paralysis a couple of times actually a couple of times this year, but never anything. Never that ghost demon thing.
So like when you experience it now, what happens? Yeah. What do you experience?
Luckily not.
Do you have sex with a ghost?
I haven't experienced spectrophilia.
It's more like the movie Ghost.
too bad. No, yeah, I haven't, but, I do think
that's what I do.
That sleep paralysis does explain a lot of things I hear about, including spectrophilia. Like to me, like, it just explains so many different things you hear about around the world. But what I experience now is more lighthearted stuff. Like one time I fell asleep on a plane. I used to travel a lot for work and I fell asleep on a plane and then I woke up, but I couldn't move my body, but I felt my head bobbing. And so like, you know, when you fall asleep and your neck is just like rolling all over the place, I woke up. And my neck was like that. It was bobbing all over the place. And I panicked because I didn't immediately think sleep paralysis. I thought I broke my neck and I just couldn't move. And so I was like, oh my God, like my neck is broken. What the hell? Like I broke my neck on a plane. How did I break my neck falling asleep on a plane? And so it was that classic like feeling of just like fighting for control back. And then eventually I like calmed down because I was like, oh no, this is sleep paralysis again. Okay. So, you know, it just is a matter of just waiting it out. And then eventually I was fighting and then like my neck, I shot up, you know, my neck shot back when I found like regained control and went, and then the person next to me was staring at me like, what the fuck is wrong with this guy? Oh,
yeah. So the sleep paralysis signaling stuff, you're kind of a fan of that then.
Yeah.
Like this ability to just recognize what's happening while in the moment. Calm the fear, calm the anxiety. You say you're a fan of that.
Yeah,
maybe not necessarily that system, but like the teachings.
Definitely. And especially I'm someone that suffers from anxiety and hypochondria a lot too. So especially, you know, I think that mentally that's a good place to put yourself in so that you can just, you know, calm yourself, keep yourself calm. You know, it's a horrible experience, but you got to remember that it's, you know, it's not real. It's whatever you're seeing isn't real. But I also know that isn't always easy because of the like mental state you're in. You're in this weird state of dreaming awakening and being awake. So it's hard to remember that all the time. And there are definitely different degrees of how asleep you are too. You know, where like when I was on the plane, I was like, okay, I'm wide awake, but I can't control my body. So like I was able to like keep myself calm. But there are other times when you're like mid dream. And you're kind of hallucinating and you can't really, you know, it's hard to make yourself remember that, oh, it's just a dream, you know. There was another experience I had too that this was actually scared me much more than the demon stuff. And this has only happened once where I was house sitting and I was sleeping in my parents' bed and they have like one of those, you know, foam beds that like you can, I don't know what it's called, the like memory foam.
A beanbag chair?
Yeah, beanbag chair. Open face waterbed, I think that's what I was thinking of.
pool.
Not pool, open face waterbed.
That's right.
Thank you. But they have a memory foam bed, and I was asleep in it, and I was quote unquote awake, right? And I felt, but my eyes were closed, and I felt a cat jump on the bed. Like I could feel it jumping on top of me, and I was like, oh, the cat came upstairs. And then it like took me a second. I'm like, wait, my parents don't have a cat. Like we've never had a cat. And so that's when I was like, oh, that's not a cat. That's a there's a person sitting on the edge of the bed. And then I'm like, what? Like, no one, they're not back yet. And then I'm like, okay, I'm gonna like attack them. I'm gonna shoot up out of bed and attack them. And then when I went to try, I couldn't move. And I was like, oh God, I'm stuck. And then I realized the person wasn't sitting on the edge of the bed. They were like in a push-up position over me. Like their face was right up against my face. And they were just,
Jesus Christ.
And that, I was so terrified. And this was one of those instances where, you know, looking back, I'm like, okay, that was sleep paralysis. But at the time I was in between dreaming and waking. So I couldn't make my brain go through that rational process of like, oh, this is just a dream. Everything's fine. I was like, oh, what is this? This person's a psychopath. What are they doing? Why are they hovering over me? And it took me what feels like hours, and I'm sure is only a few minutes, like of like quote unquote fighting to like control your body. And then so I'm like, okay, I'm gonna get control back, and I'm gonna fight this, whatever this thing is. And then I would shoot up out of bed, and then there would be nothing there. And that's when, you know, I would be awake. Wow. You know, so there are definitely different degrees of mental states that make it hard to put yourself in that position of keeping yourself calm, you know?
Yeah. Jesus, I mean, Jesus, scary. Learning about this shit. I mean, this is absolutely terrifying. I mean, Andy, this has to be tickling your scary boner.
Oh my God. I'm horrified at this. Jay, like
home
like
invasion and home intruders are one of your top fears.
Number one fear for me. So like, Jay, when you see this person, you know, it's like, is it one of those things where it's like, it's a dream. So you have the awareness that it's the concept of a person,
yes.
But there's no like clearly defined features. Or do you see like a real, like what you see, do you see like a real person?
I think it's a little bit of both. So in that instance of like the guy was hovering over me in that push-up position in the dream, in the dream, I was asleep with my eyes closed. So like I couldn't see them, but I felt that they were there and I knew that they were there. It was just you just accept, you know, when you're dreaming, it's just like, I don't remember seeing
like you
whatever
know what
thing,
it is,
but I just
even
knew
though you
that
don't
it,
have any
it was
evidence.
The fact that was happening, you know, it was kind of like that.
Yeah,
where
yeah.
So like in the context of the dream, I was asleep. So like,
right.
So from that instance, it was just like, I knew it was there, but I didn't really see it. And then in the instance of, you know, in high school, when I would see that black mass, that was a literal, my eyes are open and I'm looking right at it and I can physically hallucinate and then I'm seeing it. But
yeah, I guess it's like that thing of like when I dream sometimes, it's like you dream that you're in like the house you grew up in or something,
yeah.
But it's obvious that there are like features about it that were never there and aren't there
mm-hmm.
ever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like things that could never be there.
Right.
Yeah. Well, like one of the best,
it doesn't make sense, but you like understand that to be your childhood home, even if you see nothing about it that resembles.
Exactly.
One of the best depictions of dreaming I've seen is Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, obviously, yeah. I think so there's some great depictions of dreaming in that one, where, you know, yeah, there's great, that's what dreams feel like. But the other one is that episode of Louis, where Louis is having dreams of that faceless man that keeps attacking him. Do you remember that one?
Oh, yeah. I know what
that's another
about.
Really good example of like dreamings when like, how people have like faceless features, but like you're aware of their features, but like you're not at the same time, mm-hmm. you know?
Right.
It's like, because it's like simultaneously extremely vivid in detail and also not vivid in detail at all. You know, it's a really weird experience.
Yeah.
And I dream, that's one thing I still do. I dream extremely vividly constantly. I used to keep it.
Now, have you ever lucid dreamed?
Yeah, a long time ago, I lucid dreamed where I, when I think I was in like college, I like was like, oh, I'm dreaming. Oh, I could do whatever I want. And I remember I was in the dream.
So I peed on a bunch of books.
No, I actually, out of all the things I chose to do, I chose to become a Super Saiyan and fly around.
Oh, nice.
Oh, wow. Hell yeah.
And I remember
that's
just
cool
like,
as hell.
Yeah, I just remember flying all over the place. And I was like, all, you know, Goku'd out. And I remember just flying all over the place. And so, yeah, I have lucid dreamed, but
Dragon Ball J.
Often.
And then you woke up in your memory foam mattress and there was the outline of your boner. And you're like, oh, shit. Go away. You're trying to pat it down, but it wouldn't. The depression was still there.
Yeah.
From your heavy, heavy dong.
Now, I'll say this, Jay. You know what's funny? I don't know what it is about college, but I attempted to teach myself to lucid dream in college as well, as did a friend of mine who apparently was very successful at it. Well, I shouldn't say very. He was able to do it one time after trying multiple things, things where you study your hands. You have to memorize some kind of tell so that when you're dreaming, your brain subconsciously will force yourself to do your tell. And a big one is look at your hands and like memorize what your fucking your palms look like or the back of your hands.
Interesting. Okay.
And then in your dream, you will hopefully what you try to do is trigger your subconscious into looking at your palms. And when you dream, your hands won't look correctly. Like your hands will look different. Something will be off. It's like an Inception, how they always have those. Everyone has their token, right?
Right.
So the same thing with your hands. And then you'd be like, oh, wait a minute. That's not how my hands look. I'm dreaming. And then you can go fuck around. And my friend said he was able to lucid dream. Before he lucid dreamed, he saw an old hag woman staring at him while he was paralyzed. And so he had a bit of sleep paralysis. But then he moved into a lucid dream. And he dreamed that he was in our college dorm and was able to like walk around the halls, but the floor was covered in mist. But all he did was just kind of walk around, and then he woke up. It didn't take very long.
Oh, jeez.
But
yeah,
I tried a few times. Some other things that you do is every single day you wake up, the first thing you do is try and write down what you dreamed about, even if it's little details, to help your brain recognize what happens in dreams. But I tried for like a week before I gave up.
Yeah, I used to keep a dream diary it just got to the point where like, because I dream every night almost. So like it got to the point.
And you remember.
Yeah, I usually almost always remember them, especially first thing in the morning. Sometimes they'll fade out as the day goes on, but I almost always remember my dreams. And so I tried to keep just a dream diary.
Are we
just,
ever in your dreams?
What's that? What'd you say?
No answer.
He said, are we ever in your dreams?
I probably have dreamed about you guys. I'm sure I have.
Hell yeah.
I did, nice. But I also gave up on the dream diary because because I dream every night, it's like it just gets exhausting every morning, first thing in the morning to write out these extremely vivid dreams, because it would be like 2 to 3 pages every night. And so I'm just like, I can't do this anymore.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes I have this thing where I wake up after a dream and it's still the middle of the night. And so I go back to sleep. And then it's like, by the time I wake up in the morning, like when I go to sleep again, I'm like, well, that was a weird dream. I got to remember that so I can tell my wife about it. And then I wake up and I'm like, oh, I don't remember anything that happened.
Yeah, yeah. I've had that too. Have you ever had where you wake up in the middle of the dream and then like you instantly are able to go right back into it despite having woken up?
No.
Couple of times that's happened to me. Not very often, though. Right.
So many times I'm like a bank robbing fucking daredevil who's banging hot supermodels and eating ice cream and has a six-pack abs and is super shredded and yoked. Right. And I'm also a part-time WWE wrestler. And I wake up and it's like, God, I want to go back to that dream, but I can't.
Yeah, I'll tell you the kind of dreams I have, Jay, is that I have a lot of like sex dreams, but they never end with a culmination of the sex act.
Yeah.
So I'll have a dream like I'm gonna have sex, but then I'll be like, oh, I can't, I'm married. And it's like, it's a dream.
What
like,
the fuck?
Yeah. I'll be like, I had a dream once where it's like, it was the apocalypse and I like hit out in like, I was in some building. And I hid out in like this room and it was somebody's apartment and it was like, it was a beautiful woman.
And you're right.
She was like, the world's going to end. And I was like, yeah, I shouldn't. I should go home. These are like my sex dreams.
Holy shit.
Why would I go home? Then I got tried. I had to wait for the bus. I waited for the bus.
Oh my God.
I spent time in a dream waiting for the bus. While there's like fire shooting up places, emergency vehicles are going all over.
You're fucking checking your watch
for the bus. Why would the bus be running? The bus wouldn't run.
Holy shit.
The world's in chaos.
That is the most Andy dream ever.
Better, I should go home.
No. I've probably
said. I don't feel right about this.
Jesus Christ. I've said this probably on the show before, but let me know. Jay, you ever have these kinds of dreams? I have shitting dreams a lot. Where I'll have dreams where I have to take a full shit.
A full shit.
And I'm always like, I have to get like fully nude before I can take this shit. Like fully naked, my naked body. And I'm always in public. And so like, let's imagine I'm in the dream and like I'm sitting at a desk in a classroom and it's a full classroom and everyone's there. And all of a sudden it'll be like I'll be like, all right, I have to go to the bathroom. And then the bathroom will be like literally open face toilets.
Uh-huh.
And I'll be like, all right, well, I got to sit down. And there'll be like people watching me poop. I'll be, I have to get fully nude and fully nude. Walk down and shit. And like, I'm trying to shit in the dream and I can't.
Yeah.
This is a dream. And my body is thankfully probably putting me in paralysis so I don't shit my bed.
Yeah, as you get older, you're going to just start shitting your bed.
I'm going to probably shit and piss the bed a lot because I have a lot of shitting and pissing dreams.
Yeah,
but it's mostly because I have to piss and or shit instantly when I wake up, like without fail, every single day.
Yeah,
I always
instantly.
Have to.
Well, you're supposed to shit
having
and piss
to take a piss. It, well,
that's not
first thing in the morning. Like, the thing that wakes me up if I don't have an alarm is I have to take a piss.
Yeah, I'm the same way where I never have weird shit dreams, but I usually what wakes me up in the morning is having to go pee.
Yeah, usually what wakes me up in the morning is anxiety.
I have a lot of stress dreams, too. I have, like, stressful dreams with, like, people I've known.
He's talking about me, Jay.
Yeah.
Of course.
I have dreams where Andy's there and he's fucking badgering me about some stupid bullshit I don't give a fuck about. No.
Meanwhile, Art's completely nude trying to take a shit.
I'm completely nude. I'm trying to take a shit. Andy's like fucking yapping away about some story where he can't remember all the details. I have a lot of stress dreams. I fucking don't like them very much.
No, stress dreams suck. And I have dreams a lot where I haven't had one in a while, but I used to have teeth dreams a lot where my teeth are falling out or my teeth are rotting out or like someone's pulling my teeth out.
Oh, Jesus.
So usually when I'm stressed out, I'll have a dream like that where my something involved with my teeth and I'll wake up terrified the next morning and usually I just immediately just brush my teeth.
Well, that's good. We encourage all of our bunk fuckers to brush your teeth twice a day and floss at least once.
Yeah, floss regularly.
Yeah.
Flossing is the game changer.
Jay, you know, we mentioned it at the top of the show. You're not the only bunk funker who has experienced sleep paralysis.
Mm-hmm.
We mentioned Vanth sent in a story about sleep paralysis. Should we just read the story to Justin and get his reaction?
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah. So here's Vanth's story. I started to experience sleep paralysis when I was about 18. I had a very vivid dream, which, long story short, involved me discovering a plot to create human-rat hybrids. In fact, I found evidence that this was done as far back as the U.S. Civil War. I found an old photograph of soldiers, one of whom had a pointed rat face with whiskers. I was shot at the end of the dream, and I'm sure it was the only time I have ever died in a dream. When I woke, I opened my eyes but couldn't move my body. In fact, I couldn't feel anything at all. I was sure I was actually dead, but I felt very calm about it. This seemed to go on for several minutes before I saw a black humanoid figure approach me. I felt what seemed like hands running across my body, pressing down against me. This figure leaned over me until its face was against mine, but I could not see any details. Just semi-opaque blackness. I could feel warmth against my face like a hot breath. After a couple of minutes, it left me, and I began to be able to move again. Since then, I've had several experiences like this, but this was the only time associated with a strange dream or shock. I often feel hands holding me down, and I sense or see something leaning over me. I'm not religious, but I can't think of a better word for the presence than demon. I can feel it's not anger exactly, but malice. I know it enjoys scaring me. What do you make of that?
Jay, I think we lost connection.
Yeah, I think you lost me for a second. Can you hear me?
There you are.
Oh, there he is.
Yeah, right, we got you.
Andy, you dropped off after you were saying malice.
Oh, I can feel it's not anger exactly, but malice. I know it enjoys scaring me. And then I said, Jay, what do you make of that?
Oh, okay. Interesting. Yeah, I mean, that sounds a lot like kind of what I experienced. It's interesting them bringing up, you know, you knowing that their intentions are evil or the malice of it, because it does feel like that. It feels like, you know, like you don't, like I don't see the black mass and go like, oh, thank God it's here. You know, it's just this like,
oh God, I've been waiting.
It feels so much better.
And it could just be your own mental, you know, state, but it's like this feeling of like, oh, this is not a good thing to be happening, you know?
Right.
Yeah. And I think that speaks to like, you know, the brain's, you know, producing these chemicals because you're in this state where your brain is aware that you can't move, right? Like whether your conscious mind appreciates that fact or not, like your brain is aware, like, hey, these things are shut off.
Like, this isn't supposed to be happening.
I can't protect myself.
Yeah.
This isn't supposed to happen. And so it's flooding you with these chemicals that are designed to make you anxious and like feel fear because your brain is reacting like this is not what's supposed to happen. So you should be afraid. So it's like, then you draw, you know, your mind draws all these conclusions, fill in the blank that it's like you know, either you create something or if there is like really just a shadow or whatever, you layer onto it all of this like anxiety and fear and you create something to be afraid of.
True.
I also think it's interesting that
the rest of your brain is asleep. Everything else is asleep.
Right.
The amygdala is awake on the fucking night shift and they're not fucking helping.
Yeah.
They're working overtime.
Yeah.
I also think it's interesting that
our brains are factories. Sorry. Go ahead, Justin.
I think I cut out for a second. I was just going to say, I also think it's interesting that, you know, obviously we don't know where Vance is from, but, you know, people all over the world can have such similarly are such similar experiences, you know, where, you know, that's the description of it. And to me, I think, you know, sometimes people will use that as evidence that it's a ghost. But to me, it's, you know, that's evidence that it's sleep paralysis because, you know, that so many different people all over the world experience this. It's like, oh, no, this is a medical ailment, you know, that affects many different people. And it's just different cultures, you know, kind of paint the picture of what it actually looks like for individuals, which is fascinating.
Yeah, I think a lot of the times it comes down to like an individual's perspective. There's a movie that is directed by the guy who directed Room 237, which is the conspiracy theory movie about The Shining. And it's called The Nightmare, and it's on Amazon Prime. You can check it out if you want. It's all right. Okay. It was my favorite movie I've ever seen. It's just a lot of interviews with people who have sleep paralysis and what they make of it. And there's some people who are very convinced that, yes, these are demons. Yes, these are spirits, the spirit of my mother. You know, one lady here, the spirit of her dead mother comforts her and protects her from demons. The Hat Man. And then there's one lady who became a born again Christian because of these demons. She said that she started uttering the name Jesus Christ. And they left, and she hasn't had an experience with them since.
Right.
And then there's one lady who's very much like, kind of like the Andy, who's like, there's a rational science explanation for this, and I understand that what is happening to me, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, that's me, baby.
And she just started drooling mustard. I mean, mustard just started pouring out of this woman's mouth.
That's me.
Yeah, and it was like, oh, God, this is really Andy.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds like me.
Yeah.
Yeah, the documentary.
I think that it's just, you know, I think a lot of different people are going to make different things of it, you know.
Right, and the documentary you mentioned, too, it's okay. You know, it's not a very well-made documentary, but I think it does a good job of painting the picture of the sort of how scary it is.
It's very scary.
That's all it does for an hour and a half is tell you how scary it is, and then it doesn't really do
anything. That's true.
Doesn't really do anything else.
I mean, if you saw that shit Justin, I would be like fucking freaked out about this shit. Like this would be
this would be scary. This is too scary for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I used to get just freaked out when you have a like you leave a sweatshirt or something on your chair in your bedroom.
Yeah.
kind of wake up in the middle of the night and you see it and you think it's a person.
Right. Yeah.
But it's like, I'm fully awake. Yeah. I can move and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're fucking frozen. That's the shitty part, is you're frozen.
It's scary to not be in control of your body.
Yeah, that honestly, that is more terrifying than the actual hallucinations to me, as just not being able to move. Just being, that feeling of being trapped is not, is horrible. It is a horrible, horrible feeling, you know? So to me, that was always the scarier part, honestly, was being stuck. And then also there's a demon there and you're like, dude, I'm trying to not be stuck. What the hell are you doing here?
Can you not?
Yeah.
Look, I am dealing with a lot. Okay. Yeah.
Please.
Demon, go for a second. Time. You can come back when I can move. Okay.
Exactly.
I've got all these AP classes.
Yeah. Oh my God.
And I'm applying to colleges right now.
AP US history, AP Euro.
Demon.
Like, please.
AP Euro.
Yeah, I took AP Psych and I think AP Lit.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, that was lit. It was lit, dude.
That is lit.
AP Government and AP Calculus. Didn't sit for the calculus exam. Don't know what the fuck calculus is. Never figured it out.
You didn't even sit. You didn't even try.
No, I knew I would fail. Just didn't see the points.
I sat for the psych one and I didn't know anything because our psych teacher just played movies the whole time.
Oh, hell yeah.
And I got like an easy zero. Nice. Like, I remember there's an essay portion and I just made up stories about like dogs and kites and stuff.
I got a 4 on the government. Got college credit for that.
Yeah, I crushed the fucking AP Lit one. I fucking smashed that shit out of the goddamn board.
I had a friend whose brother didn't take any of the AP classes but sat for several of the exams just to try them and got a bunch of credits that way.
Yeah. Seriously? He just bullshitted his way through it.
Well, he was a smart person, so he probably knew what he was talking about, but
wouldn't work for me. I'm a freaking dummy.
Yeah, I'm dumb as fuck.
Needed those classes.
Well, I mean, Justin, this has been a wonderful, I mean, you know, we could keep going on and on and on, but I think we do have to get to some kind of verdict. And I think, I don't know, I guess what's the verdict that we're talking about here is that sleep paralysis, we didn't really discuss it. I guess we can in the verdict. Is sleep paralysis a portal where you're interacting with demons and spirits?
That's something.
Like, is this a paranormal experience?
That's something I wanted to ask you guys in your studies of sort of all these different, you know, conspiracies and paranormal things. Are there any that you look back on that, or any in general that you look back on and you think, you know, because to me, sleep paralysis can explain a lot of different things, you know? I mean, and like we talked about in that documentary, there are people that genuinely thought they were being haunted by demons and ghosts. But to me, I look back at stuff and kind of see like different stories and paranormal stories. And I'm like, not only does sleep paralysis explain that, but just like a lack of sleep in general, I think can really mess up with people's minds.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think the stuff that probably gets explained by either sleep deprivation or sleep paralysis is things like a lot of alien abduction stories. You know, that's like, it's like where culture bleeds into your brain. And when that's in the public conscious, you know, aliens, like that's like when you see the uptick in like alien abduction stories is when there's like more press on, extraterrestrials. Whereas you'd expect that there would be alien abduction stories even before the cultural phenomenon,
right?
You know,
right.
Like you would expect, even if it's not in pop culture, you would expect people to report weird things like this, even if it's not necessarily characterized as alien abduction. But that's not what you see. You see that the narrative changes over time based on like what's kind of culturally popular.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then I think like things like spectrophilia, that's probably related to sleep paralysis. I was gonna say something else, but I lost my.
If you look at
I mean, just like a lot of general
like,
demons.
Emily Rose, or is Emily Rose not Emily Rose? That's what the movie was.
The exorcism and stuff,
things like that. You know, I think with things like that, there's like a lot of mixture of mental illness, undiagnosed mental illness, and then you know, I think. Sleep issues for sure.
Yeah, I agree with that, Jay.
Yeah.
And I think too, this is what I was going to say is like, sometimes you hear these like encounters of people who like either they're sleeping at a roadside rest stop in the middle of the desert or something, or they pull off to the side of the road and they go to sleep, and then they have some weird encounter with like humans. Like we read about some of these stories when we did Black Eyed Kids. That kind of thing might be sleep paralysis related. Or like, you know, somebody has some weird experience with a like cryptid, you know, where they are like sleeping in the woods or something, and then they have like some weird experience. That stuff could all be sleep paralysis related as far as I see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or I know you guys haven't covered this yet on the podcast, but what's the guy's name? The Pale Man, but he
George Washington.
It's a guy that, you know, I think it was a fell asleep on the side of the road thing, and then a spaceship came out and a man in a suit walked down. I forget his name, but I think, you know.
Oh, is this the Indrid Cold?
Indrid Cold. Yes. I think.
We touched on it. He's part of Mothman.
Mothman, that's right.
He's in the Mothman universe. Right, yeah. Right. But it's bigger than Mothman, but
right.
Exists in that world.
Yeah. And then there's also, like I mentioned earlier, I think you guys touched on this a little bit in the research, but just general good sleep health and good, you know, healthy lifestyle is like what people need a lot of the time, you know, of like.
True. It doesn't hurt. We'll say that. Yeah, right.
Just, yeah. You know.
Now, obviously you went in and got a sleep study done.
Yeah. I got two sleep studies done. Which I don't really recommend doing ever. I got a sleep study done because I thought I had sleep apnea, which is just another freaking thing to add to my list of sleep stuff.
Jesus.
Right. But
yeah, gotta collect them all here.
Yeah, a year and a half ago, I got I did a sleep study. And that is horrible. It sucks. It's every story everyone has is the same, but they put all this goop on you and then put all these wires to you, like hundreds of wires on you. And then they stick you in a bed and they're like, all right, go to sleep. So it's impossible to get a good night's sleep anyway. I had to do it twice. One to see if I had sleep apnea, and then they said, yep, yeah, you got sleep apnea, so you got to come back and do it again so that we can see what kind of tubes you need.
Jeez.
And then I did it again, and the first time I did it, they said I moved all over the place, but the second time I did it, I didn't move at all, like the whole night. Like I just stayed perfectly still all night, which is weird. But going back to what I was talking about with healthy living, So sleep apnea, not that we need to go into this, but like I would wake up every morning completely exhausted.
Despite
having 12 hours of sleep or 8 hours of sleep, I'd wake up just exhausted. But then I started, dieting and exercising and being a little healthier. I lost a little bit of weight and I haven't had that problem since, which I'm not saying.
Wow.
I'm not saying that explains every sleep, you know, phenomena ever, and that everyone could do that, but I'm just saying, you know, it's something to think about.
Consider.
Yep, something to think about. Yeah.
First-hand account here from Mr. Link.
Yeah, we got a real sleep paralysis. Yeah.
I still do get
paralyzer
sleep paralysis, but it helped.
But it's not as much.
Sleep apnea that helped with that.
But your sleeping better. Your sleeping habits are better. You made better strides in your sleep habits. You're actually waking up and not feeling like total shit.
I mean, I gotta say, I think sleep is probably the most important thing we could do for ourselves.
Yeah.
And that's coming from somebody who abuses their body and does not sleep enough. Mm-hmm. So if there was one thing that I could change about myself, aside from absolutely everything, it would be to get more sleep and better sleep.
I think people, especially in the U.S., I think a good night's sleep is completely an underrated thing that is not, because I think, thing here is just work is culturally in the U.S. is work really hard and just work harder. And it's just always, you know, pushing yourself.
We look up to all these athletes, Kobe Bryant, first guy in the gym at like 4 in the morning, doesn't last guy to leave. It's like, holy fuck, when the fuck does this guy sleep?
Right.
LeBron James, though, on the other hand, like when he's in the mode for the finals or whatever, it's like he
gets 8 hours of sleep. Like, he will black out everything. No one can disturb him. Nothing. He's all focus. Mm-hmm. Eight
Smart.
Hours of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean, you're right, Jay. I mean, the Spaniards have it right.
Yes.
We need to incorporate siestas.
Yeah, 100%. Yes. It's just
siesta needs to become a thing, a cultural thing. It needs to be okay.
Or just regular amounts of sleep at night.
Yeah. Or, you know,
yeah.
I sleep like 6 hours of night or less, probably.
But you're someone who doesn't need a lot of sleep.
I would have said I agreed with you a few years ago, Art, that I don't need a lot of sleep. But I also then almost had a stroke. So,
yin and yang.
Yeah, a little
pros
bit of
and cons.
Of that.
Pros and cons to saying, oh, no, if I sleep too much, I don't feel well. It's like, oh, it's because my blood pressure is like off the charts high.
Jesus
Good
Christ,
God,
Andy.
Oh, God, Andy.
Oh, God. Well, anyway, we need to get to some verdicts here, folks.
Verdict!
Jay, why don't you take us away? You're our little guest.
Wow. You get the... Wow.
Well, you know what? It's your choice. It's dealer's choice. If you want to go last, you know, That's or you fair. Can
well,
go
I don't
first.
Mind
you
going...
lead us off, or you want to fucking be the caboose?
I don't mind going first, but I guess my question
you
is...
You want to go first to be a big man, or you want to go last to be like a little fucking baby who has to take open shits and is fully nude and is scared? Of taking poops in public.
Is this about me right now? Because I'm nude on the open-faced toilet? Or is this about your dreams?
No, that's a thing I'm very used to. At this point.
Okay.
No, I don't mind going first. I guess my question is, what exactly are we verticizing here? Are we verticizing if sleep apnea is real? Are we verticizing that ghosts and demons are real?
Yeah, do you think that... something paranormal is the
right.
How plausible do you find it that the paranormal is the root cause of sleep paralysis or what people experience in sleep paralysis?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. I gotta, I'm gonna open the bunker scale.
I do it every time.
Right now, I happen to have it on my desktop for some reason.
Yep. Close those tabs of hentai and open the bunker scale.
Yeah.
We know you're looking up hentai of Jimmy Neutron's mom.
Pixar moms and their trash can asses.
Oh, my God.
Good Lord.
They're so fucking thick. So, you know they're doing it on purpose.
Just to drive us wild. And it works.
This is incredible. Jesus fucking Christ.
Oh, my God. I can't stop masturbating.
I'm always in the movie theater and I'm going to see these fucking Pixar movies and I just can't stop. I'm like... what do you think they're making these movies? I thought these were movies for masturbating.
I thought this was a porno theater. You can take your pants off in a porno theater.
Hey, there's Chuck Willery's here.
Chuck Willery.
The dude who played Pee Wee Herman's is here. We're all masturbating.
Paul Rubens. Fred Willard's ghost. We're all masturbating.
Who was the guy? Who was the karate guy that died masturbating?
You said Chuck Willery. Hmm? Who died masturbating?
The karate guy. Bill from Kill Bill. He died masturbating.
Oh, yeah, David Carradine.
Yeah, he died from...
autoerotic asphyxiation, that's right. Yeah.
So that's cool. All right, bunker scale. Do I think that there's a paranormal explanation or element to sleep apnea or sleep paralysis, and the ghosts and demons or aliens or hags are involved in sleep paralysis?
Oh my.
See, this is tough. So what I'm thinking about right now is I'm thinking about all the different stories we read, and I'm thinking about other people's experiences. And I guess to me, I have to say plausible quark because I'm only not saying case closed because I do think there are instances where not necessarily that the paranormal is taking place, but that, you know, other ailments or illnesses are happening to people where it isn't necessarily a sleep problem. But I do think lack of sleep and sleep paralysis is the explanation for a lot of paranormal instances of things. So that's why I'm saying, you know, plausible quark, leaning towards case closed myself.
Oh, okay. Strong verdict,
yeah.
Jay.
Yeah, I'm coming out hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Sexy.
Tough stuff.
what we come to expect from you. So I guess I'll go next. I'm going to go straight case closed on this because I think that this is pretty consistent, I think, for me, that I'm going to say, like, I don't really believe in a lot of the paranormal things that get ascribed to sleep paralysis experiences. And I think generally our brains are pretty weird in some of the stuff that we do in order to make sense of all the stimuli that we take in and the worlds around us. So to me, I think that we can experience a lot of weird things, but it's not paranormal. It's normal. It's just it's not usual, if that makes sense. So to me, I think this is case closed. I think what people experience is just like it's a weird mix of factors that lead mm-hmm. to it. It's obviously not super well understood because it's not super common. And there's still so much to learn about our own brains and how we interact with the world around us that I think this is just one of those things that we'll probably eventually understand a lot better with more when we learn more about our the brain.
Well, and Andy, also to your point, Art, just real quick before you go, one thing that you said that made me think that you guys have said throughout many of the podcasts is people's experiences are real. What you experience and see, that is real. That you experience that. But that doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, the explanation for it is real. So someone you could see, like I saw a ghost demon mass thing that was real, that happened to me, but the explanation for it isn't always, isn't always literal or real. So you guys have said that a couple of times throughout many different episodes. And I think that's something, a good point that you brought up, Andy.
Yeah. And I for sure believe that like UJ, you had an experience. Yeah. It just doesn't always mean that there was a literal black mass there. Like there was nothing in your room with you. It's like a figment of what your brain's creating to help make sense of what's going on. Right. But like, you know, that doesn't mean that you didn't have an experience.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's right. Aside from the fact that maybe the butthole servers were in your room singing that song, who was in my room last night? Guitar Hero?
I only know the one butthole server song.
You guys are really crushing on my references.
I don't know. Butthole Surfers is another movie I watched at that theater.
That's another VHS tape you have.
Riding the wave of poopy. Butthole Surfers. There was a band. They were a 90s band. Butthole Surfers.
Yeah, I know. They have one song that I heard. And I don't know any of their other songs.
A Butthole Surfers t-shirt makes an appearance in a Simpsons episode.
I don't know the sun sometimes.
Hurricane Nettie.
Oh, that one.
That's right. You got it, Justin.
We got our own little guitar hero here.
That's right.
He's our little I can play the Harry Potter theme.
I think... torn. Natalie Imbruglia. oh, God. Andy is right up against the fucking... The window of his bubble is staring at me very intently. I was laughing earlier because he chugged his entire water. It was funny. I don't know. I got to go case closed, I guess. I think that's what I actually feel. But at the same time, I know that that's ironic coming from a guy who said he thinks angels might exist multiple times on the pod. But I don't know. I just think that like sleep paralysis is so common that we've noted it back to the 8th, the 10th century. And it's always kind of been it's not the same for everybody, obviously. I'm not trying to fuck shit on people's experiences, but a lot of people see like the Hat Man or the Black Mass or the old hag or the, they're bound, they can't move, they levitate. There's a lot of similar experiences that we have. So I think I just lean towards the sleep stuff on this one. I think that it is some kind of switch. But the thing is, you know, people who don't frequently get it can get it, and you can stop getting it.
Yeah.
Not everybody gets it constantly. The stat was that 8% of the general population is like a frequent sleep paralysis-er, but like 25 to 50% of people, it said, like in the U.S., experience it at some point in time, which is kind of a big range.
Yeah.
But either way, I mean, that's my verdict on that one. So I am case closed. And those are our verdicts on sleep paralysis. Mm-hmm. Bunk Funkers, let us know what you think. Use the hashtag What are we thinking here?
Hashtag Gilbert Gottfried. No? Oh, okay. Hashtag
wake me up inside and outside.
All right, wake me up inside and outside. And let us know what you think about sleep paralysis. You can email us, MrBunkerPod@gmail.com. Find us on Twitter and Instagram, @MrBunkerPod. You can look up our YouTube videos where you can see Justin's wonderful work.
Oh, so good.
Animating and editing together our bunker featurettes, our bunker videos, which are of various topics. If you have a topic you'd like to see made into a bunker video, please let us know.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Also, if you'd like to support us and you have the means to do so, you can find us on Patreon, patreon.com/MrBunkerPod. And you can, for just $5 a month, get an episode of our Patreon-only show called Andy and Art Debunked. New episodes every single month. And there's lots of other fun goodies. There's a Discord where you can talk to me, you can talk to Andy, and you can talk to Justin. Justin's on the Discord.
Mm-hmm.
God, there's other things. You get sneak peeks, episode previews, video previews. Mm-hmm. You get behind-the-scenes stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a bunch of fun shit.
I gotta say, as someone, as a Patreon-er myself, a supporter, and someone in the Discord server, it is, like, if you're a frequent listener, there'll be times when I discover a new thing online, or like I have content creator people that I support, and I'm like, oh, I just want more. The Patreon is perfect because it has just, like, it's just fun. It's just a lot of fun. So subscribe to it.
Oh,
wow. Wow.
And Justin, you were also guested on a Patreon episode.
That's right.
Well. So you've had the full fucking
gamut. I am so popular.
Yeah. you're driving this show at this point.
Well, Jay, do you have any last words before we wrap up here and we fucking put you to sleep for good?
Oh God, I need to make this last as long as possible. No, I would encourage people that think they have sleep problems to talk to their doctors and get it under control, because sleep is important. And it, you know, for the longest time, I, you know, just didn't, and until I finally, you know, talked to my doctor about it and did something, it really helped me out. Wow. And I have so much more energy and stuff. So if you think you have it, talk to your doctor about it. And then if you think you're being haunted by a ghost demon, well, I'm right there with you. It sucks. Sorry.
Hey, that's a lovely, lovely sentiment there, Jay. Take control of your life, unless you can't. And then, you know,
fuck it.
Just whatever. Fuck it, whatever. Well, that's a nice way to wrap it up here. Fuck it, whatever. So for not the titular Mr. Bunker, but for my extra mundane co-host Andy Hart, I'm Art Stones, and that was the whole enchilada.
Sweet dreams.
You know, a lot can happen in 7 minutes, and luckily, that's how long it takes me to tell a story. My name is Aaron Calafato, and I'm the creator of 7-Minute Stories. I'm proud to partner with Evergreen Podcasts, and I'd like to invite you to join me on this journey. I'm going to take you on some crazy roller coaster rides using my unique extemporaneous storytelling style, and together, we're going to try to make sense of the world, all through the art of storytelling, and all in approximately 7 minutes.